is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President-elect Donald Trump will appear this morning with the chief of a Japanese investment company who's going to announce a pledge to invest $100 billion in projects in the U.S. during the Trump administration. ABC's Catherine Falder says this is not a new strategy.
This is almost exactly what Trump did during the first transition in December of 2016, where he also appeared next to this very same CEO of the same company who at that time pledged to invest $50 billion in projects.
Trump's picks for cabinet positions continue their meetings on Capitol Hill, including Robert Kennedy Jr., the choice for health secretary. The FBI and Department of Homeland Security have deployed infrared cameras and drone detection technology to ensure that drones flying over New Jersey and New York are not harmful, according to a law enforcement source. And workers at two Amazon facilities in New York City say they could walk off the job because of a contract dispute. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulotz. The Act 10 ruling is raising the stakes for the state Supreme Court election in the spring. The controversial 13-year-old law strictly limited public sector bargaining rights in Wisconsin. Last week, a Dane County judge struck down a big portion of the law, but Republicans have already filed an appeal. Michael Childers is a labor education professor at UW-Madison. He says the law also brought the state back more than 50 years, as Wisconsin was a pioneer in the fight for workers' legal rights.
It was the first state in the nation that allowed formally for public sector bargaining and then became the first to basically greatly curtail bargaining rights for all but police and fire in the state.
He says Act 10 changed the ability of public sector workers in Wisconsin to have influence over their workplace. Wisconsin experienced the largest decline of union membership in the U.S. over the past decade. The case is almost certainly headed to the state Supreme Court. If Act 10 is struck down by Wisconsin's high court, it could open the door for a resurgence of union engagement across the state. The court currently has a liberal majority, so the public workers who filed the lawsuit hope justices act before the election. A report from the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction found that students in the state are struggling in standardized testing, specifically in math. The report found that less than half of public school students scored as proficient in math during the 2023-24 school year, and school choice programs students had a math proficiency rate of about 28%. Education officials cited the COVID-19 pandemic as one of the major reasons for the declining test scores, forcing students to learn virtually to prevent the spread of the virus. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
The Packers win in Seattle. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers beat the Seahawks 30-13. It's the first time they've won in Seattle since 2008. Head coach Matt LaFleur praised the defense after the win.
Our team effort, especially our defense, I thought they played a really good game, you know, for four quarters. Got constant pressure on the quarterback, got a couple takeaways.
Rookie linebacker Edgerrin Cooper had five tackles, a quarterback sack, and his first NFL career interception after missing the last three games with a hamstring injury.
You know, I was very hungry to get back out there. Do what I did, and thank for my teammates doing their job.
Women's college volleyball, the Wisconsin Badgers lost to Nebraska yesterday in three straight sets. The Badgers have reached the regionals 12 years in a row.
Just proud of the people that they've become and the players they've become and how they've grown as a team. And I think they've represented their university and their community and the state of Wisconsin.
That's Badgers head coach Kelly Sheffield with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is foggy with drizzle this morning. It is going to stay cloudy, becoming breezy by later this afternoon. Our high today, 42. Tonight, breezy, 28. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, cooler, 37. By Wednesday, partly cloudy with a high of only 31. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Jeffrey from Madison.
I worked for the city of Madison for 34 years. Act 10 cost me $42,000.
Yep.
In 1977, the state of Wisconsin passed a law that says public employees cannot strike. With Act 10, now we can't bargain for working conditions and benefits, so they basically turn public employees into second-class citizens.
Yes.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Is marijuana legalization a mistake? Elton John thinks so. We'll discuss that and a whole lot more on the next Earl Ingram Show.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 till 10. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Lots of things coming up for you on the show today. It's Mondays with Mr. Global. Matt Randolph will be joining us. Matt Randolph is an oil and gas industry expert. He's been in the business for 30 years, started working right out of high school on an oil rig. He also owns his own oil company, not Chevron. He's a little smaller.
No, boutique.
A boutique oil company. But he knows his stuff. He's got the facts. He's got the evidence. He's got enough to annoy everyone on all sides. So we're going to be talking to Mr. Global Matt Randolph coming up after the 10:30 news at 10:33. Next hour, we want to talk about, is it finally time for medical marijuana in Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Right? There's still a lot of
roadblocks.
There's the word. That's a good word. Roadblocks for that. But we'll be taking your calls after the 11 o'clock news. Would like to know how you feel about having medical marijuana made available in Wisconsin. Finally, a British television a phone company is fighting back against scammers. It's pretty great.
In the best way.
It's pretty great. So we'll tell you about that at 11:33. And then we're going to wrap up the show today with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. What's in a name edition? Something I found over the weekend. Yeah, it's pretty annoying. But don't forget that the statewide Text to Win grown-up gift list contest is underway this week. This is the last week for this contest. So here's how this works. In the 7, 11, 1, and 4 o'clock hours, you are given a keyword to text in, and you have to use the Civic Media app. So if you don't have it yet, go to wherever you get your apps, download the Civic Media app, and then after 11 o'clock when we give out the keyword, you go to whatever station you're listening to or whatever station across the network is closest to you, and you text in that word.
Mm-hmm.
And that gets you in the running for one of two prizes that hour. In 11 o'clock, we're either playing for a $100 cash or an overnight stay at Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. Whether or not you win one of those prizes, everyone is in the running for one of eight grand prizes, from espresso machines to robot vacuums to a snowblower to luggage to a humidifier, which we haven't given enough love to.
They're fine. They do their job.
But so stick around for that coming up after 11 o'clock. Be listening for the keyword that we will have for you then. And then you can text it in via the Civic Media app. I did want to start off, though. It seemed unusual to me that there were two of these stories.
Yeah.
And both of them from WISN ABC in Milwaukee. Headline reads, Franklin man rescued after falling through ice at Wind Lake. The man was walking along the lake to try to meet up with a group of friends who were ice fishing, according to the Burlington Police Department. 36-year-old Franklin man rescued after falling through the ice on Saturday, according to the Racine County Sheriff's Office. They got a call about 12:30 after a woman saw the man fall through the ice, who said, "I was scared for him. When I saw him fall through, I was on 911. I did see him come back up. He tried to climb back out, but he fell back in. He went under a couple of times. I could finally see his head, and he was screaming for help. It was awful." The man, again, according to WISN, fell through the ice about 800 yards away from shore while walking across the lake to meet up with a group of friends who were ice fishing. He was able to keep his head above water by hanging onto the edge of the ice. Neighbors believe the ice was about 2 inches thick when he fell through. And then, same WISN, Pretty Lake Ice Rescue. Man pulled out of water by fishermen. The Western Lakes Fire Department got a call around 9 a.m. on Sunday. A group of ice fishermen helped save a man who fell through the ice on Pretty Lake. The group of fishermen used a rope to get him out. He was then brought by the group to a nearby boat launch. They gave him some dry clothes, put him in one of their vehicles to warm him up. They said the Western Lakes Fire District was training earlier this week on Pretty Lake. They want to remind everyone to be safe when out on the ice. Ice conditions are very unstable throughout the winter because of a large number of springs in a lot of lakes. We have a lot of spring-fed lakes in Wisconsin. I guess my question is, and we have a lot of ice fishermen in Wisconsin.
Correct.
What is the thickness you look for before you venture out there?
Because 2 inches to me is not enough.
2 inches doesn't seem like very much. That seems like you could punch through that.
And for those who don't know, Franklin in Ottawa, Wisconsin.
Where Pretty Lake is.
Pretty Lake is in Waukesha County. Franklin is in Racine County, or that lake is in Racine County. Neither one of those places are experiencing frigid cold temperatures and enough to freeze the water for long enough. We had that cold snap last week,
which lasted about 3 days.
But it was bookended by 40s and 50 degree. And today, like right now in Racine where we're at, it's 46 degrees right now.
Yeah.
So in my opinion, I don't think anyone should be out doing ice fishing right now. It does not seem safe enough.
I would wait. I would be waiting for at least 6 inches of ice.
Yeah. And when I say that, I mean southeastern Wisconsin. Right. I don't know about northern Wisconsin right now.
Right. But even we talked to Brittany Merlot on Thursday, Civic Media meteorologist, and she even said that in some of those areas, it's warm.
Yeah.
It's warm. Aren't the winters that we used to have.
And also, not to be like, you know, nitpicky about it, it's not winter yet. We're just knocking on winter.
21st.
We need to get to that point. Get to January and February. Right now, it's not safe enough. I'm sorry. In fact, if I personally feel like the police and those, or whomever is in who can be a part of that, there should be signs of saying, do not ice fish right now. Do not.
Danger, thin ice.
Yes, exactly. Or danger, no ice.
855-752-4842. Are you an ice fisherman, fisher person, and how thick do you want the ice to be before you go out there? Again, I've never gone ice fishing. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we're wrong. Maybe 2 inches is just fine. That doesn't seem like very much to me.
No.
855-752-4842, or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just bringing this up because, again, I know that ice fishing is very popular in Wisconsin, mm-hmm. but we want you to be careful, and we see at least a couple of these stories every year.
Yeah.
At least these two men were rescued.
And they weren't driving their cars.
And that's happened, too.
Yep. We get that every single year. Someone thinks they're you know... Snow miser Evel Knievel, and they decide to take their car out on the ice when the ice is too thin to support it. But yeah, I just feel like right now we are not far enough into the cold weather to support that kind of activity
and that kind of weight.
Or, you know, fish from the sides. I don't know. Or fish over. There's plenty of opportunities. There's plenty of options. But just going out there 800 yards offshore.
When I was growing up, my parents had a cottage on Druid Lake, which is in Washington County. Mm-hmm. But again, I grew up in the 60s and 70s, and winter started in October.
Yeah.
You know, we had snow for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we don't get those winters really that much.
We really don't. Yeah. And so, I mean, we used to ice skate on the lake. We used to go snowmobiling on the lake. But there had to have been at least 6 inches. Mm-hmm. Calvin, are you an ice fisherman?
I am not. I've been once or twice, but I did find, I can't speak to the credibility of this. This comes from almanac.com. They have a safe ice thickness chart.
Okay.
It says 3 inches for a single person on foot, 4 inches for a group in a single file line, and 8 inches for a passenger car.
Well, and that one story said that guy was meeting his friends.
And I'm pretty sure they weren't also walking in a straight line.
Yeah. It just, to me, don't ask me to go on the ice unless honestly, because then you get like groups of people. I don't want to be on the ice unless there's at least a foot of ice, because you're asking then supporting shanties, people, cars, all these things. No, thank you. No, thank you.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about two stories from over the weekend where an ice fisherman had to be rescued. One at Pretty Lake in the town of Ottawa in Washington County, and the other happened in Franklin. Man rather fell through the ice at Wind Lake over the weekend. Both of them are fine. They were able to make it to shore and they will recover. But just to give you a little bit of heads up, I would hate for anyone to get hurt. And I'm curious, how thick does the ice have to be before you will slide your shanty out there? 855-752-4. Maybe they're already on the ice and they can't call.
They should be able to hear us on the Civic Media app. It's free to download and available everywhere.
It is that.
We're available on ice. Matt and Air on Air.
On
Matt
ice.
Matt and Air on ice.
Matt and Air on ice. Be careful out there.
Please.
Good luck with the fishing. I hope you get lots of fishes.
Don't take chances.
Yeah, not if you don't have to. Give it a couple more weeks.
Yeah.
At least.
I'll buy you some fish.
Right? I mean, we have 40s now for the next couple of days.
Yeah, it's not, and I don't imagine that lakes are going to maintain any sort of
integrity. Ice,
yes.
Integrity?
No, everywhere I'm driving now, I see like ice and then water. It's melting. It is melting at a rate.
Bill from Oconomowoc is on the line. Good morning, Bill. Thanks for joining us. How thick does the ice have to be before you're going out there?
Might never get thick enough for me anymore. When I was younger, I used to ice fish. I used to dive in the ice, do all that crazy stuff. So a friend of mine started an underwater recovery, and I quickly changed all my habits, including me walking on the ice. My point of calling is my son, who used to serve in Western Lakes recovery and all that kind of stuff. They do ice recovery and ice stuff. I think people who are ignorant enough to drive on there and fall through should be charged fully for what it costs those people to risk their lives to go out and save them.
You make a good point, Bill. What they do is so dangerous. What they do is so dangerous and very, very expensive, I'm sure. That's why we just trying to give folks a heads up. Be careful. Maybe wait a couple more weeks before you decide to slide the shanty out there and do some ice fishing. Thank you, Bill. Really appreciate you checking in. Yeah. Always appreciate you listening. Rob from Port Edwards, we will take you when we return. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Yeah!
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We reported recently on the impact of Shelby County versus Holder, the U.S. Supreme Court's decision invalidating Section 5 of the 1965 Voting Rights Act. Anticipating even more erosion of the VRA, some states have passed their own state VRAs.
It's not only the dismantling of Section 5, the preclearance requirements for states with a history of discrimination. The conservative justices also made proving racial gerrymandering harder under Section 2, and they've made it easier for a state legislature to dilute minority voting power. And in the lower courts, more cases attempting to keep individual voters from bringing voting rights lawsuits under the VRA are pending. With dwindling protections from the federal government, California, Washington, Oregon, Virginia, New York, Connecticut, and Minnesota have enacted state VRAs. Michigan, Maryland, New Jersey, and Florida have efforts underway. The NAACP Legal Defense Fund recommends that state VRAs should have preclearance requirements for municipalities which have patterns of discrimination. Rules should include a prohibition against vote denial or dilution through gerrymandering, strong protections against intimidation or deception, language assistance, a statewide database to make evidence-based decisions on election administration, and a directive to the state judiciary to support pro-voter and pro-democracy decisions. We have the recommendations at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Here's why I'm glad I don't work in an office. My wife is always talking about, she's a teacher. They put donuts in the teacher's lounge, there's sweets, there's snacks. It wasn't that way here today, but Nikki keeps those Biscoff cookies out there. I probably ate 12 of those today. The phrase "you are what you eat" is very true, because I was sitting in the office earlier prepping the show and I felt kind of doughy and I'm like, I feel like a Biscoff cookie.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. News from the center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up later on today, 2 to 4 p.m., the Maggie Dawn Show. Maggie will take a deep dive into the presidential cabinet that is shaping up for a second Trump administration. Boy, those people have a lot of money.
Yep. A lot of opinions, too.
Lots of opinions, lots of cash. The new Trump administration, Maggie Dawn, will be diving into that today from 2 to 4 p.m., so you can join her. Right before we went to the break, talking about two stories over the weekend where men had to be rescued ice fishing, one on a lake in Ottawa, in the town of Ottawa, on Pretty Lake, and the other one was in Franklin.
It was in Franklin.
Fortunately, the guys are okay, but again, I would be very, very wary right now of going out on the ice just because it hasn't been cold enough. And the question is, what is your standard? Where do you wait? How thick does it have to be before you're going to take the chance?
What's your level of thickness?
What's the thickness level of ice? Rob from Fort Edwards, thank you for your patience. Rob, how are you doing this morning?
Good morning, folks. A lovely sunny day. Yeah, it's beautiful here. I lived on three different bodies of water. Currently, I'm on the Wisconsin River, but I lived on Lazy Lake, which is the headwaters for the crawfish, and it's a very circuitous flowage is what it is. Mm-hmm. And what people didn't realize is that you have a river current running through there, slow as it is, but it thins the ice out because you're getting fresh water, warmer water, so the edges are thick, but if you get out in the middle, not so much. And Green Lake is the exact opposite. The lake is a couple hundred feet deep in an average. And if they dropped a snowmobile or a UTV or God forbid, a car in that lake, I have no idea, to that fellow's point about a federal charge. I don't know about that, but we just had a guy on a kayak go to live in Georgia, in Europe, to escape. And they were down there. It takes a lot of money, lot of effort to retrieve something. Yeah. You have to do it. You have to get it out of there. If the ice is going to be 4 or 5 inches, I'm good on that. Again, if it's not a river, if it's a river or your spring fed lake, that's another thing. Then I'd be a little more going to the 6 inches. Driving a car, I just don't do that anymore. I used to take my Jeep, which didn't weigh hardly anything. And I was a bold and idiot to do that.
But I mean, that just speaks to too, Rob, though, how much winters have changed.
They have. They clearly have. Even like Winnebago, they were struggling last year to do their sturgeon spearing thing, which is like, I mean, that's the Holy Grail. It's the Hajj. You know.
Yep. Yeah, you got to be careful. Thank you so much, Rob. Really appreciate it. Tony Z texted this in. Recommended minimum ice thickness. Rough guidelines for new clear ice only. 2 inches or less. This is from the DNR. Stay off of it. 4 inches for ice fishing. 5 inches of ice for snowmobiles. 8 to 12 inches for a car or a small pickup. 12 to 15 inches for a medium truck. And 100 plus inches for Godzilla. So obviously based in science.
And for those Star Wars fans, it's 30 to 40 inches for an AT-AT.
Thank you. I wasn't sure what that was.
Empire Strikes Back, gigantic four-legged creatures on the ice planet of Hoth. Ice planet Hoth, very thick ice. It's an ice planet. Drive your car wherever you want. Drive your car wherever you want.
If you're on that planet.
Exactly.
Yes. Steve from Hayward listening on WBZH shared a picture of Lake Spooner. And it's open water. You can see that it looks like waves, little waves to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, you definitely want to be careful. We just don't want you to. And as Sue from Franklin texted in as well and said, it puts first responders at risk. It really absolutely does. That's very dangerous. And in my previous iteration at a different station, I had to talk to someone who does ice rescues. And it's a very complicated, very dangerous procedure. And like Rob mentioned, the depth of Green Lake, for example, that makes it's murky down there. It's not like you're swimming in the Caribbean looking for stuff.
No. And honestly,
it's very silty.
Unless my car, the butt of my car is sticking out of the water, I'm letting my car go. There's no.
Car's going bye-bye.
No.
Well, that happened on Lake Geneva a couple of years ago during their ice festival. Do you remember that?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
So during the ice festival they were having in Lake Geneva, some people decided to park on the ice. Yeah, that didn't end so well.
No, thank you.
At least they were right by the shore, but even so, that's not something you want to have happen.
That's something that should not exist.
So please be careful. Wait until things thicken up a little bit ice-wise, because we want you to be safe.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. News is coming up in just a little bit. When we return, we're going to be talking to Matt Randolph. He is Mr. Global. You can find him. He has his own channel on YouTube.
Yes. YouTube.com/Mr. Global Oil Expert.
Oil Experts. And he also is affiliated now with the publication, The Dispatch.
Look at him being all famous.
I know. He's very, very knowledgeable. He's been in the oil and gas industry for more than 30 years. And we're going to talk about tariffs.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about the XL pipeline.
Yes.
And
yes.
If you ever have questions, he's got extensive videos on his YouTube channel that cover just about any question you might have. If you're going to ask him a question, be prepared.
I was going to say, ask him a question. Ask the question, then he'll answer. What I would not advise doing is going on your channel or you're making a video where you with all of the
things,
the hubris, tell the world what you think is going to happen in the world of gas, oil, and energy, because he will find it and he will dress you down and he will make you look very ignorant on the topic.
Well, just make sure you know what you're talking about, because he will have no compunction in setting you straight.
Exactly. That's
He's very good at that.
That's why I stopped all my videos on oil and gas. They're done.
Jeff, by the way, checking in on a live stream, says it was in Racine County. The man is from Franklin. Thank you. That lake was in Racine County.
Gotcha.
Either way, it's southeastern Wisconsin. Stay off the ice for now.
Yeah.
Just do that. All right. Yeah. News is coming up next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Managing stress is a challenge for everyone today and is especially challenging for farmers when so many things are out of their control. But with the right support and resources, it is possible to navigate these pressures and reduce stress. Navigating Your Ag Business from Stress to Success is an online course sponsored by UW-Madison Division of Extension's Farm Management Program and the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection's Farm Center. Joy Kirkpatrick is a UW-Madison Division of Extension Farm Management Outreach Specialist.
Farmers have all kinds of things that can be stressors, and they can be different for each farm. So this program really helps farmers think about what their unique stressors might be in the moment and help them put together a plan that can help them address that stress.
By participating in this program, farmers can build a more resilient and sustainable future for their businesses and their families. Kirkpatrick says those interested can begin the next Navigating Your Ag Business from Stress to Success online course January 1st.
The online part where we meet as a group through Zoom live is actually going to be on Tuesday evenings from 6 to 7:30. But there are online stuff that they need to read and watch videos and things like that on their own as well.
For more information about the online course, go to go.wisc.edu/NYAB or email joy.kirkpatrick@wisc.edu or call 608-263-3485. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwab. Drew Barrymore says she has been warned by her talk show guests not to be so touchy. The host often holds the hands of her guests and is very huggy and says she is working on not invading people's space and respecting boundaries. In a recent appearance on the show, Wicked star Cynthia Erivo said she didn't mind as she is very affectionate as well and gave permission to Touchy McGee to be affectionate during her appearance. Grabby Moore also held hands with Ariana Grande when she made an appearance on the show. I wonder if she would be as handsy with Seth Rogen. Doubtful. Third time is a charm for Anne Hathaway, who says Christopher Nolan saved her career. I had no idea it was ever in danger, but show folk do tend to exaggerate. The Oscar-winning actress says being cast in her third Christopher Nolan film let her know she was doing something right. Other Nolan films the actress has appeared in include The Dark Knight Rises, Interstellar, and Oppenheimer. Hathaway also appears in the new Nolan movie, which people know very little about, and that's the way Christopher Nolan likes it. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
A dark and dreary day today with mostly cloudy skies, patchy fog, and some spotty drizzle. Winds are a bit breezy too, out of the southwest, gusting around 25 miles per hour with high temperatures tapping 40. As we hold steady for most of the day in the upper 30s, we slide below freezing tonight. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 37 degrees at our studios.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Jeffrey from Madison.
I worked for the city of Madison for 34 years. Act 10 cost me $42,000.
Yep.
In 1977, the state of Wisconsin passed a law that says public employees cannot strike. With Act 10, now we can't bargain for working conditions and benefits, so they basically turned public employees into second-class citizens.
Yes.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Luke Matheris, you let the dogs out.
I let the dogs out. It was me. After about 15 minutes, I go out there and I'm like, what is this mound? An opossum playing dead in the middle of the yard. I'm out there kind of hollering, like trying to corral the dogs. And then we finally got Aurora to come in the house, stepped away for a little bit, came back and was gone. I really hope that it remembers this traumatic experience and never comes back in my yard again.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome talent manager and actress Heather Art and Appleton-based comedian Rob Brackenridge, who drops by the studio for some laughs. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Cal B coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. We are waiting to be joined by Mr. Global, Matt Randolph, oil and gas industry expert. Just a little behind. I'm hoping we did not get our signals crossed. We emailed last week, and he said that the flu took him down pretty hard last week and the week before. But again, we are waiting to be joined by Mr. Global so we can do Mondays with Mr. Global, Matt Randolph. While we're waiting for him to join us, there was a pipeline spill in Wisconsin.
Yep.
Enbridge Pipeline spills nearly 70,000 gallons of crude oil in Jefferson County. This from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The spill is Enbridge's worst in Wisconsin, even worse than a 2012 incident that spilled 50,000 gallons in Adams County. The spill first noticed November 11th in the town of Oakland. It happened during a routine inspection by a technician with Enbridge. The discharge happened on Line 6, which was built in 1968.
How often has it been maintained?
The pumping station was shut down and isolated. They excavated the area. The source of the spill was repaired, and the station was back online. Enbridge said Friday the spill was because of a faulty connection on a pump transfer pipe. And the pipeline was likely leaking for an extended period of time. According to the report, December 11th, an estimated 1,650 barrels or 69,300 gallons spilled. Enbridge, which of course is a Canadian company, said that soil removal is ongoing. It already estimates about 60% of the affected soil has been removed. Enbridge immediately reported the release to state and federal regulators. And they're working with the Wisconsin DNR for cleanup. The extent of the damage and whether or not any waterways have been harmed, not immediately clear as of Friday. The DNR says it's working with Enbridge on the investigation and degree of impacts and cleanup. Enbridge failed to report a spill in early 2019 for more than a year. Even though the company was well aware that a large amount of oil substance had been released near Fort Atkinson, also in Jefferson County. At the time, DNR said that Enbridge was violating the law and could face fines. Midwest Environmental Advocates provides legal support to people who exercise their right to protect natural resources. Their executive director, Tony Wilkin Gibbert, says, quote, the close to 70,000 gallons of leaking crude from Enbridge's Line 6 in Jefferson County shows why we've challenged DNR's approval of the Line 5 reroute and why we specifically challenged DNR's conclusion that the risk of a spill in Line 5 is small. The harm this pipeline could cause to Wisconsin waters and the climate is guaranteed to be significant and could be catastrophic. And again, we're waiting for Matt Randolph, Mr. Global, to join us, and I'm sure he could address this, but we've talked about this many times.
Yeah.
Pipelines don't produce oil.
No.
Pipelines move oil.
Yep.
That's all they do is they're a conduit.
Yes.
To move oil from Canada, because this is Canadian oil.
Yes.
To move oil from Canada to either ports where it can be exported around the world.
Yes.
So when you hear some folks talk about, we need more pipelines because so our prices will go down, that doesn't affect the price of oil and gas.
No, as we've said before, and as Mr. Global has pointed out to us, the cost of fuel in this company, the cost of gas in this country has to do not with who's sitting in the White House right this moment. It's about who is making the deals while sitting in the White House at some time. And he points to the OPEC 2020 deal on a very regular basis in his videos. Donald Trump begging for them to cut production, and then increase production, and then the oil prices go up, the gas prices go up, and right now, I mean, I'm looking at gas prices around me about between $2.40 and $2.60.
Oh, really?
A gallon, yeah.
I want to say I paid $2.52, I think. on Friday.
Okay, yeah. So that has to do that. I mean, that doesn't. And that's not because Joe Biden's in office either.
No,
it's because the terms of that deal had ended. If I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
So.
Well, and actually, President Biden is the one who reworked that deal with the Saudis. Yeah. Because their increase in production under Trump was for 2 years, mm-hmm. which, again, from what Matt has told us previously, that's a really long time to ask them to increase their output. Normally, it's a couple of months.
Yes.
And this was 2 years.
2 years.
So President Biden went back to the Saudis and said, yeah, can you stop flooding the market? Because one of the other results of that deal with the Saudis was that our own oil industry started seeing losses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We lost refining capacity. We lost rigs. The rig count went down under Donald Trump.
And another thing that you talk about, too, are the quote-unquote lack of drilling. Because, I mean, it's always drill, baby, drill, more drilling, let's get more oil. We are producing, as a country, a tremendous amount of oil. We are exporting a huge amount of oil, and we have all of these, I don't know the official terms that were released, but like basically contracts, leases. They weren't able to be filled because we didn't have enough oil companies to fill them all. So there are currently a great deal of leases available from the government to get oil out there, but we've got so much happening right now. They're not able to be filled. They're just not, I mean.
Well, it's not cost effective.
Yeah.
It's not going to be cost effective for these companies. Again, the cheaper gas is, or that doesn't do our oil companies any good. Mm-hmm. And they're only going to invest more money in more rigs and more drilling and all of that if they are going to make money.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem that complicated.
No, it doesn't. I feel like if I can get it, anyone can get it.
Alicia on the live stream had a really good question. And Alicia, if Mr. Global makes it, I will absolutely ask him about this. But what does Mr. Global think of the Premier of Ontario threatening to shut down energy to the U.S.? How will that affect us here in Wisconsin? That would have some pretty drastic effects because, again, going back to our previous conversations with him, we will always need imports of some kind. Mm-hmm. Because when you talk about oil, it's a pretty broad umbrella.
Yeah.
We're talking about natural gas, which we produce a great deal of.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's complicated.
It's very complicated. Greg on the live stream says he had a doctor's appointment. Gas was $2.57 at the airport Shell in Ashwaubenon, which is suburban Green Bay. I mean, the gas is pretty decent right now.
It really is.
I don't know of any area in Wisconsin where it's breaking $3 even. And whenever it seems to be creeping up towards $3 or over $3, people start freaking out saying, well, this is just government spending, run amok, and how could... Bah!
It's a global marketplace.
It's a global marketplace. The prices go up, they come down. And right now we are enjoying some cheaper gas. Now,
if you would go to his YouTube channel, and again, it's Matt Randolph, Mr. Global.
It's the official page is...
The official page, because he has all kinds of impersonators.
On YouTube. Go to YouTube, because that's where he has long-form videos as well. He has short videos, medium, and long videos there. But if you go to youtube.com/@Mr_Global_oil expert, that's him.
We'll put that in the show notes.
It's already in the show
notes. He's already got it in the show notes.
Yeah.
But he was talking about when we see the average national gas price. Mm-hmm. And I think right now the average national gas price is around with 3.25 or something like that.
I will look that up right now.
You can look that up. But in one of his latest videos, Mr. Global talks about how that's not really a good barometer mm-hmm. because of California.
Yes, that's something I never...
Considered.
So right now, the average in America is $3.024. So $3.02, essentially.
Right.
Wisconsin is $2.77, I'm sorry, as of today. Both prices are of today. He had that video where he talked about the fact that California's prices are going up. into the $4. He said they're going to be knocking on $5 soon.
After the first of the year.
So when you see those averages, that's not a representative of the entire country.
Right. Because there are so many people in California and so many drivers in California, they skew the average. Mm. And so keep that in mind when you hear, you know, average oil price, the average oil price of gas in the country is this. Well, again, with California being a great big outlier, mm-hmm. because I believe they have more state taxes that are kicking in after the first of the year. And in that latest video of his, he pointed out that they're going to be paying like another 60 cents per gallon. And again, be knocking on the $5 a gallon door.
And really, folks, what this all comes down to is that it's a much more nuanced discussion than just blame the president.
Yeah.
Or drill, baby, drill. Or some simple 10-word soundbite that a politician can give you to say, you know, I'm going to do this and make all the oil and gas and the energy cheaper. No, you can't do that.
You really can't do that.
There's no snap of the finger silver bullet fix. That's just...
Or a mechanism.
No.
A mechanism to do that. Jack from Merrimack is joining us. Good morning, Jack. What did you want to say about this?
I have a proposition for helping stabilize the cost of oil helping it continue to drop. Get serious about replacing fossil fuels with green energy. You can't move a hydroelectric plant, so you can't export that, so it's not responsible to the international market. You can't move solar panels, so it's not going to be responsible to the international market. If you do that, that'll be a start. And what you do is you use those as the sources for our electric grid. You gradually, of course, you can't do it instantaneously.
Right.
You gradually convert over. And, of course, you convert to electric cars. You would need, of course, the same kind of electric charging stations that you have, filling stations. You'd need them about that often, probably, for electric cars. But there is even a financial fix for that. We essentially pay oil companies to pull their oil out of the ground through our tax dollars with a thing called the depletion allowance. For every gallon of oil these companies pull out of the ground, they get a huge tax break. They're making billions, tens of billions. I know I own stock in one of them. And they're not going to lose a lot of money. Oil is used for plastics. Oil is used for the basic for making pharmaceuticals.
For everything?
It really is.
Yeah. And so if you stop burning it, the price will definitely be going to go down. And if you take those billions of dollars that are given away to oil companies with the depletion allowance and you put them into establishing charging stations at every place where there's a gas station, or at least most of them, you can solve that transportation issue as well.
Appreciate the call, Jack. Thank you so very, very much. And we did actually just have a big solar project approved in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Public Service Commission of Wisconsin approved construction of a $2 billion solar project that could have more than 1,300 MWs of generation capacity. Thank you. Yes, I knew what that meant. Megawatts.
Megawatts.
We must have missed signals with Mr. Global. We'll see if we can get him on for this last segment. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Here's another great reason to use the United States Postal Service this season. Your boxes are wrapped and the gifts are in. Our employees are ready. Let the holiday ride begin. Let's start with the price. It's easy to manage when you ship with the reliable USPS Ground Advantage. In just a few days, it's sure to arrive. We're working nonstop to keep the spirit alive. USPS Ground Advantage, the affordable and reliable shipping solution for the holidays. Visit usps.com/advantage.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Big news in Wisconsin this month, as much of the controversial anti-union Act 10 law was struck down in a ruling by Dane County Circuit Court Judge Jacob Frost. Two takeaways on this. One, the ruling gets at the heart of what has always made this law so brazenly political, by defining public safety employees differently from general public employees. That decision was pretty clearly made not based on across-the-board policy, but on which unions backed Scott Walker for governor in 2010. It would be fitting if that is what ultimately spells the end for this controversial law. Secondly, this case is headed to an appeal, which almost certainly will end up at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. While this case still might be decided by the court's current 4-3 liberal majority, it's a good reminder of just how important the upcoming race for state Supreme Court will be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Cal B coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Don't forget, you still have time if you have not yet.
To do what, Jane?
Download the Civic Media app because you're going to need it after the 11 o'clock news.
Oh.
To take part in our statewide text to win grown-up gift list contest. So after the 11 o'clock news, we will have a keyword for you that you need to text in via the Civic Media app. And if you do that, you are in the running for either $100 in cash or an overnight getaway to Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. And then everyone who enters, whether you win one of those prizes or not, you are going to be in the drawing for one of 8 grand prizes: robot vacuums,
ooh,
a snowblower, espresso machine.
Okay.
Nicely done, Vanna White.
Thank you.
That's all coming up after 11 o'clock. Make sure you download the Civic Media app. And we're going to do this every day this week. This is the last week of the contest in the 7 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., and 4 p.m. hours. And there's ways to pick up bonus entries, too.
Yes, once you enter, if you haven't already used your bonus entry, you will get a text back. Now, please remember, if you have texted stop after this,
if you blocked our text, you're not going to get this.
You won't get anything from us, period. So if you want to get that extra vote or the extra
entry,
thank you,
bonus entry,
you will send in your entry. Mm-hmm. You will get a response from us. It will lead you to a website where you can, you know, sign up for our newsletter,
which is a great newsletter.
Exactly. You know, no spam mail here. Thank you very much. And then that'll get you a bonus entry. And then there you go. And as far as the app goes, it's a great app to have anyways, because you can listen to us anywhere. Even Tony says, if I was visiting the International Space Station, would the app still work? I'm not a scientist and I'm not an engineer, but I'm going to say yes.
Why not?
Why not?
Sure.
Everybody else gets to say stuff that isn't true. Why can't I?
Before we went to the break, we were talking about, we were supposed to be joined by Mr. Global, Matt Randolph. We must obviously got our signals crossed, and we will try and get him on before Christmas. He's very busy and important.
He is busy.
He's now doing things with the Dispatch, and he has his own YouTube channel, which I highly encourage you to subscribe to, because then when you're at a cocktail party over the next couple of weeks and people bring up how Donald Trump is going to lower all the gas prices and everything's going to be great. You can have some points. You can have some facts. That's what they're called. You can have some facts to counter those arguments.
Hey, listener, do you want to ruin your friend's good time at a party? No, honestly, it's true, though. I mean, like, we hear it all the time. People just saying these things. It's just because Trump says it.
Right.
I'm going to cut energy by 50%.
And that's going to save us all so much money.
How are you going to do that? Tariffs. Wait a minute. And then it's going to go to child care, too. You have no course of action, do you, sir?
Yeah. No, find Mr. Global on YouTube and subscribe. He is fantastic.
Yes.
And we did mention again right before we went to the break that the Public Service Commission in Wisconsin did approve construction of a $2 billion solar power project. It's going to sit on 6,000 acres in Portage County. Vista Sands is the group. Vista Sands is a subsidiary of a Philadelphia-based company, Doral Renewables.
Okay.
So it is a privately held company. Construction is expected to begin in 2026.
All right.
That's a step in the right direction.
That's what Jack was talking about in the previous segment. He was talking about the fact we need to invest time, energy, and money. Because, yeah, we cannot snap our fingers and just go directly to an electric grid. It's going to take decades.
It is going to take decades.
Not a week, not 2 weeks, not even like an administration. It's going to take a firm investment from this country, our lawmakers, and the ability to say no to some of these huge corporations.
And Calvin found a great article in the Cap Times, too, how southern Wisconsin could become a nuclear fusion mecca. And I believe, and we haven't talked to Mr. Global about this very much, but I believe he is a supporter of nuclear facilities because they are supposed to be pretty clean.
Clean and safer.
Safer. There's, for people of my generation, you hear a nuclear power plant and it brings up all kinds of bad memories.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that's decades ago.
That's at least, last one was Fukushima.
Right, but that was tsunami related, wasn't it?
I believe so, but it's still,
right. Yeah. Granted.
Yeah. I don't honestly, as far as the nuclear thing, I don't know where I fall because honestly, I don't know enough. So when we do have him on, maybe he can give us a nice explanation on the pros and the cons of nuclear and get it from a real expert, which is what he is.
Calvin, you have an opinion on this, don't you?
Yeah, I just remember seeing this article like a few weeks ago, even though it's from the beginning of October. I think, again, I don't know too much about it, but if I'm remembering correctly from when Mr. Global talked about it, I think he said another advantage would be like solar and wind takes huge modifications to the power grid to function, whereas with nuclear power, the existing coal power plants are very easy
to kind of plug
convert
in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Retrofit.
So that's another advantage. But yeah, I think whatever we can do to eliminate fossil fuels is great.
And as Greg pointed out, it's going to take a very, very long time because oil is in so many things that we use.
Well, and not to mention the companies that run oil are in so many aspects of our lives with regard to lobbying and lawmaking and, you know, local, state, and federal, depending on where you live. It's going to take an investment from them.
So. That it is. All right, stay close. News is coming up next when we return. Is it time for medical marijuana in Wisconsin? You're
yes.
Listening to Matt Mayer on air, coming to you across the vast, statewide, countrywide, potentially global, potentially orbitable Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we continue our live coverage from the Seattle area, focusing on the Naval Air Station in Bremerton. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart and brain.
Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. President-elect Donald Trump is speaking in South Florida along with SoftBank CEO Masayoshi Son. He's the chief of the Japanese investment company that's pledging $100 billion in investments in the U.S. during Trump's 4 years in office.
My confidence level to the economy of the United States has tremendously increased with his victory.
He made a $50 billion pledge after Trump's win in 2016. Meanwhile, Trump's picks for cabinet positions continue their meetings on Capitol Hill. That includes the choice for Health Secretary Robert Kennedy Jr. A law enforcement source tells ABC the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security have deployed infrared cameras and drone detection technology to ensure the drones being spotted over New York and New Jersey are not harmful. And more political upheaval, Germany heading to an early election after the chancellor lost a confidence vote. This is ABC News.